The Texas hill country looked winter drab all around him when Chet Burns pushed the big bay gelding he called Julio off the ridge. The leafless mesquite branches stuck out, and the brown grass waved in the relentless north wind under the cloudy sky. Kind of a day. A man hunched under his denim jumper and rode along dreaming about a crackling fire to warm his hands. Fingers encased in the goatskin gloves, the heat would still feel good to his digits. Being homewood, too, instead of out checking on scattered range stock this far away from the headquarters. One good notion crossed his thoughts. The buttermilk ceiling rolling in from the Gulf might bring some rain. Wasn't a day in Texas a man couldn't use more water. Then, Chet bailed Julio off the steep slope into the dry wash bottom in the thicket cover of cedars and live oak. He jerked out the .44-40 rifle from the scabbard in a swift dismount. His ears were tuned for another incoming round.
Where are you?
One round can draw a man's attention, but he needed the second one for a source and a direction where the shooter might be located. His heart pounded hard under his breastbone. Alone and far from any aid or assistance from the ranch crew, he must wait out these back shooters. For a short moment, he'd forgotten all about the deadly feud that existed between his family and the Reynoldses, a sneaky bunch of cowards who, with their relatives, had killed his younger brother the previous spring. Dale Allen had been up there in the Indian Territory on a cattle drive to the Abilene, Kansas stockyards. Now, with 3 or 4 more hours of daylight until sundown, he could wait them out. No doubt they'd quickly get fidgety. Then, they'd either charge down there to find him or hang tail on their horses and ride like they were on fire for home. After a breakneck run last spring up to the Indian Territory, he'd gathered most of the herd and later even the score of his brother's murder. That never stopped a feud so deeply entrenched in revenge with ignorant people like the Reynoldses. If they came for him in this draw with its dense cover, he'd send some more of them to hell before they ever reached him. Julio was busy snatching bunch grass through his small curb bit. He raised his head between bites as if testing the wind. Then the cowhorse raised his head again and shifted around looking south. Enough of a clue for Chet to belly down under the pungent smelling boughs and try to spot the riders on the ridge above them, opposite of where he'd flown off the slope. He caught sight of a red something, and next, through the limbs, he distinguished a rider huddled under a blanket jacket coming across the hillside. Armed with a rifle, the party stared hard down at the cedars for a sight of him. Satisfied this was one of the ambush crew, Chet took aim. It was the others Chet worried about. If they'd seen his quick dissipated gun smoke in time, they might have spotted him. He needed to move aside from there and be certain they couldn't see him. The round never came close to Chet, and he suspected the bullet originated from the same ridge as he settled in a new spot a dozen feet away.
Joe, you all right?
It hurt.
Good.
Stay down! We'll get him!
Don't be so damn certain. Still flat on the ground, Chet removed a fresh brass cartridge from his jumper pocket and slipped it into the side breech. His rifle reloaded, he tried to peer through the boughs for another sight of one of them.
Come on.
The word we must mean more than one was left up there. Had he been daydreaming riding along to draw that many assassins? Or had they simply gotten lucky running into him? He was near the south end of range. No matter. There were still at least 2 more gun-happy yahoos out there. Chet rolled over and drew his .44. When the one on horseback busted into the space where Julio grazed and spooked him, the shooter never saw Chet on the ground, half under the cedar. Chet's Colt belched death into the rider's shocked face and chest. He was on his feet and headed for his own wide-eyed horse. In his left hand, he caught the reins.
Whoa!
In lunges, the now riderless horse was going uphill with fear in his wide eyes, his tail tight to his ass.
Damn it, did you get him?
No, he's gone to hell too.
Chet was trying to locate the latest one doing the shouting on the ridge. Then he saw the speaker and quickly drew a bead on him.
Damn.
Way too far away for a pistol shot. There wasn't time to get his rifle off the ground, but he lunged for it anyway. He scurried to the right on the floor of sticky needles. When he reached the spot where he could see the black gun smoke blast of the shooter's rifle, Chet found his feet, then swept up the pistol he dropped and looked it over. Save for some resin sticky needles, the revolver looked okay. With slow intent, he studied the ridge selectively from his cover and reloaded the Winchester. Were there only three of them? By his judgment, that was all. But he wasn't taking chances. That Reynolds bunch was never easy to kill. The twice-shot man on the ground had never moved. He rolled him over with his right boot toe. This dead man had a name. Carly someone. Did day work for ranchers. He wouldn't move no more. Chet located Julio. Julio acted upset when Chet rode him out of the thicket to the north. Twisted in his seat, Chet could see three saddled horses together grazing on the ridge opposite his position. Their horses. It took 15 minutes or longer to work his way over there. He found Adrian Klaus sprawled out on his back, rifle nearby in the grass. A brother-in-law to the Reynolds clan, he'd been the talker on the ridge. If he was alive, he'd not last long. He was unconscious, the wound in his chest pumping blood. Chet booted his cow pony over and rode downhill where the one in the red jacket sprawled on the ground. No more than a boy in his late teens, the stricken shooter blinked up at Chet and made a gasp. His open jacket showed he was losing lots of blood. He reached vainly for his handgun a few feet from his fingers.
Better save those bullets for yourself. They won't find you in time to save you from all the suffering you're gonna do. You a Clayton?
Joe Clayton.
Are you boys really that damn stupid?
Yes. We figured we could take you easy.
You ain't the first or the last to think that. It's a shame you won't be alive to tell anyone.
Yeah.
Chet reined the bay around and struck out for the north. Half sick to his stomach, he short-loped Julio for the house. Small patches of sunlight through the buttermilk sky swept the hill country, lighting the live oaks and cedars on the slopes, and then the seams in the clouds closed in again. Another day and a chapter in his belly-souring life had come and gone. The taste of vomit was hard to swallow from behind his tongue. Three more of his enemies were dead, but would soon be when the last one slipped away back there.
Damn it. Is there no end to this killing?